Hello and welcome to the ninth episode of Taz Racing Kennel Talk. I'm Matt Reed for tazracing.com.au, and with me is the man with his finger on the pulse of everything that's happening in Tasmanian greyhound racing, Brennan Ryan. Brennan, how are you coping with the Arctic conditions we're having here in Tassie this week?
Hello to you, Matt. Well, I've got 5 inches surrounding a 5-acre property here up in Bilston. It's a bit cold. The dogs are not used to it. They haven't seen snow for the first time, but they're nice and rugged up with the heaters on, and we're doing the same. So,
well, there's been some amazing photos come out from all around the state. We saw some vision of the Ladbrokes Racing Centre in Mowbray a bit earlier this morning. I think you'd be thankful that you don't need to head there for a race meeting this evening.
Yes. It's a bit chilly around there, down in the, being around in the, surrounded by the mountains down there at Mowbray. But thankful, and hopefully, long as conditions hold up, people can travel back and forth heading to Hobart on Thursday with a bit of luck.
Yeah, well, there is a lot of travel involved, of course, with all meetings around the state. So hopefully the snow clears. But we'll kick off the podcast with a look at the Hobart card last Thursday, which was the 30th of July. There are a few performances on that program, I think, that stood out to you. The first being Wing Commander, who was a big price winner at $21 in the maiden.
Yeah, for trainer Rachel Moat and owner Lee Goss. The one thing particular about this dog, there is a bit of a story behind it. The dog's kennel name is Chief, and from what I understand, seeing a social media post, the dog is very highly strung and took a bit of time just to suit into the trainer's routine. And Rachel's son Jordan, he's 14 years of age and he's very keen on racing, and he was able to obtain his handler's license, and last Thursday night was his first time leading a dog to the boxes, and lo and behold, Wing Commander's come away with a win, and yeah, that was his first winner. So, and apparently they couldn't wipe the smile off his face, and I don't blame him, and it's good to see a young person like that get involved. And you know, the win in total, Wing Commander done everything right from box four, coming out well in an even line, got the break heading into the corner and just kicked away to win by 2 lengths. The time's respectable, and you know, at the maiden, it was a pretty open field, but he'd done everything right, and I'm just glad, you know, not only for Rachel, but for Jordan, you know, to see involvement like that in the sport.
Yeah, it's a great story. Another to sneak under the guard of punters was Rivergum Flyer, who won the Ted Devine Memorial in a busy finish.
Well, Matt, the one way to say this, I've never seen, there were more leaders than there have been prime ministers in Australia. That race turning for home, they were all over the shop, and the way Rivergum Flyer, he was back at the start and he gave the leader a dozen lengths and he got a good rails run turning for home and just shot through at the right time. And you know, he paid the odds of $24.20 there, and I think he started the official price at around about $20. And you know, the win in itself, you know, was a big upset. But in general, for trainer Ian Cullinan, who's just one of the nice guys in racing down there in Hobart, and to see him to get a win like that, and I know he would have had a good association with Teddy Devine, and, you know, a win's a win. But for Ian, I know he'll live on that for a while, because it's not too many occasions he can get a good price like that. Hopefully he was on it, but he'll come away with that, and, you know, he'll be on a high for a little while, and he deserves it.
Well, that was the first of two features on the night, the second being the Jared Davies Silver Trophy, which I guess went a little more to script as far as the market was concerned. But it was a Ted Medhurst Quinella with Fabulous Baroque beating Home Connected.
Yeah, Fabulous Baroque, he's, you know, one of the, look, he's a dog who's, you know, reliable. You can take him, you know, to all three tracks, and he can put in every time he goes round, and he's won, you know, the majority of his last, say, 16 starts, he's won in free-for-all company, and his efforts coming out of the Shane Yates Memorial Cup were just enormous, and to see him get a win like that, the form backed up, and he come away with the spoils running 26-22 on the night. And, you know, as an indicator, as I stated probably a little while back, this race was a good indication of the dogs going forward for the Tasmanian Sprint Championship coming up next week, and I think this dog will be one of the ideal nominations going forward. And he's suited to the track. His trainer, Ted Medhurst, can, you know, he puts him in the, you know, great stead, being, you know, this is his home track, and this dog will be one of the contenders heading into the big race next week.
Yeah, he's been racing in really good form. So that was Hobart on last Thursday night, the 30th of July. We calendar turned into August, and the first meeting of the month was in Launceston on Monday night. Two heats for the Ladbrokes Illingworth Classic were the highlights of the night. And we had a little bit of drama too. We'll just have a listen to Colic McNiff's call over the final stages of the first heat.
Off the back they come. Highland Wonders in front. Danger's going to be Dashing George around the outside, who's coming home powerfully. Dashing George goes up, flying home over Wine Dashing. Oh, well, you saw it. The six was going to win, but wanted to have a look. And getting through, Winkley Casey. Winkley Casey has got through to win.
So that was won by Winkley Casey. And if you backed her, Christmas came 4.5 months early, as the eventual second dog, Dashing George, cost himself the race, turning his head inwards and making contact with the other dogs, and has subsequently been stood down for 28 days by stewards, which has naturally cost him his place in next week's final. Brennan, a bit of drama there. What did you make of it all?
Well, look, taking self-interest, I had a runner in the race with Ava Wine, and he was... You know, he was bad away and flew home late. He was like a greyhound version, closely what we've seen, like Good One, and, you know, sort of similar version styles of like Chidark, where he was coming home at the top and he sighted the, you know, the leading bunch. And you think Dashing George, if he stayed straight, he was the winner, you know, dead set heading for home. But all of a sudden he just propped and turned his head towards the his runner on the inside of him, which was, I think it was Highland Wonder or something like that. And, it upset it. And they just bunched up. Ava Wine got caught up within that trio. And Winkley Casey was just sitting right on the line. She just put in another stride and got the money. And that's a part of racing, but it was just a bizarre finish. And it's, as you stated, Dashing George will come out and the reserve in a circle will maybe get the run in the box turn. That'll be made official on Monday. But it opened it up. And, you know, it's... These series like that, they're always going to be either, you know, big winners and in the qualifying heats like this, or there's going to be some upsets, but it makes it interesting getting into a final like this.
Yeah, well, I guess the pleasing thing as far as that bit of drama at the finish there is that the dogs that were going to qualify for the final still managed to get through as far as that top four there. It didn't change too much as far as qualifications for the final. In the second heat, we saw the Shane Yates Memorial winner, Winburn Lethal, won again in a slightly faster time compared to the first. It was 29.70 versus Winkley Casey winning in 29.92.
He was impressive, and Matt, the way she's going, she's in great stead. She's got a great little picket fence going, you know, beside her form, and Ben's just done a terrific job with her. She's coming home from Melbourne and, you know, with confidence brimming full, and the way she won there, her sectionals were great. She's gone 5.02, 17.57 down the back, and, you know, she's done a great job to run 29.70 and win by 6 lengths on the line. And, you know, the effort was just awesome. And he's got, look, she's just got the X factor about her. And I can't toss her heading into the final on Monday. She's just going to be too hard to beat. She's drawn awkwardly out in box eight, but if you took her class away from her, she, you know, you say she's just one of the runners, but the way she can come out of a box is just the asset she needs in big races like this. And I'd say this is going to be a clean sweep, not only for Ben England, but for Connections. It's going to be an interesting couple of months for her going forward. But obviously Monday's the main target, and I'd say she's going to be very hard to beat.
Well, let's have a look at the box draw for the final. We've got in the red, Do the Disco. Dashing George will come out and be replaced by Inner Circle in the two. Highland Wonder, three. Winkley Hugo, four. Ava Wine, five. Winkley Casey, six. Handsome Prince, seven. Winburn Lethal, eight. As you said, Brennan, you expect Winburn Lethal to be hardest to beat. Just a word on your two runners, Ava Wine and Handsome Prince, who on face value perhaps haven't had too many favours with the box draw there.
No, and they've started to develop slight little traits where, you know, with Launceston, there's always going to be interference because it's a speed track, and they're finding it hard because they haven't got natural early speed. So, as you see in their runs home, like Anthony Prince was courageous and running second, coming home, you know, from back of the pack, and same with Ava Wine, what he'd done in his efforts. I like where both of them are drawn. This gives them a bit more confidence. I think, look, I don't say they're going to win, but they need to be within the first four to really, you know, being the factor of the race, but I see, you know, I can't step away from Windburn Lethal. I've, you know, early predictions, I've got her on top with Handsome Prince and one of the, yeah, and yeah, I see it clearly between them two and Ava Wine. I see them being, you know, the strongest runners. It's pretty even. I see Winkley Casey's going to put some early speed to him as well. And Winkley Hugo, the way he's drawn, I think he'll he may put a bit of, you know, a bit of pressure early, because the way he led last week in his heat, he may be you know, he may cause an upset, but because he broke away from the field. But I just see Windburn Lethal going to be the absolute standout for the final.
Which is race 7 this coming Monday night in Launceston. Over 14,000 to the winning connections there, so it's sure to be keenly contested. We'll continue our look back at the last week. We were in Devonport on Tuesday. We saw 10 races run. There were quite a few shorties on the program who faced mixed success. One dog that garnered plenty of attention pre-meeting was first starter Windburn Sheehan, who raced like he had a motor attached to his back, streeting his opposition by 9 lengths.
What an effort it was, and he's certainly created a, you know, a lot of interest off his run there for the informed trainer Ben England. He comes from a great litter of the Aston DBC's All Class, which is, we've seen through trainer David Croswell, and this greyhound, he's did everything right from box one. If you watch his replay, not only from the side on, but from the head on shot, he's come out, stayed on the rail, but he showed a lot of tactic where he went around the front runner dog and went out wide, and then as they've come into the first turn, he's come back down to the rail. So he's got plenty of track sense. He's, you know, green as grass, but he's going to come through the ranks pretty well. And I just want to watch this dog going forward, because he's very exciting. He splits overall running 7.93, which is very strong, 12.57, and, you know, 12.83 in the run home. To run 25.40 is a pretty good effort. I think this dog's got the X factor about him going forward.
Yeah, he might be well above average, that's for sure. And another runner was Sir Dusty, race 8, number 8, in a very tight photo, just got the better of Young Recruit.
Yeah, he's been an interesting dog. He comes from the 30 Talks, Sing the Song, that are trained by Terry Ackerley at Summer Hill. And this greyhound, he's been a bit off the ball. His last win was in March prior to the shutdown, and he's just starting to hit his traps. He's a dog, I think, he may get out to a bit more distance, which track will suit him when he steps out further. But, all honours and his merit, he had box 8 and done everything right to trail Young Recruit, and coming into the home straight, he just lined up, set his sights and came past him on the line to score by a neck. And, you know, the time was a great effort around 25.77. And I think, you know, like I said, I think going forward, he's going to be a dog that's got plenty of type of team stretched up into the middle distance. When Terry makes that decision, I don't know, but he's going to be a dog for sure that'll hopefully be well mixed into the staying ranks, not this season, but, you know, stepping up for the next season's distance races.
Another to keep an eye on by the sounds of it. So that was a look back at the 3 meetings in the last week. But it's time for you, Brennan, to give the punters something to back in Hobart on Thursday night. We've got another 10-race card there in Hobart. Things kicking off at 7:40 local time. I think the first of your specials comes up in the opening race.
Yeah, I've gone nice and early. I'm sticking with the in-form runner Buck Street for Adam Whitford. He's looking to line up for a winning hat trick. His last start win at Hobart on Thursday over the 340s showed plenty of promise. He'll stretch out to the 461 for the first time. He's got a career record early now, 2 wins from 5 starts, and his win at Devonport indicates he can handle the 400-metre trip. 461 will be a good test, but I just can't put him out of the equation. Dave's not in. There's going to be a dog who's coming back in distance, and there's also Judah Ben-Hur, who's got inform, efforts in his last 2 runs, but I think from the inside draw, Buck Street will be hard to beat.
So that's race 1, number 1, Buck Street. And the next one to look for comes up in race 7.
Yes, Dave Baroque for our premier trainer, Ted Medhurst. This dog, his last 4 starts, he's got second place efforts in his last 4 outings there. And from box 8, I like him from out the wide there. He's just looking to, put himself right out from out wide. He just wants to stay clear of trouble, and I think he can come across and, you know, put himself into it. He's got a personal best of 25.94 there, and tracking distance, he's won 2 from 10, but he's a dog that you've just got to have patience for, and Teb wouldn't have this dog in his kennel for no reason. Other dogs in the race, there's My Desiree, another one, a kennel mate for Ted Meadows. It's drawn box one. It'll be another dog, you know, with a PB. It's in form. It's got 3 wins from 4 starts there with the PB in 25.97. But with Staybroke, I think if it can stay, you know, its course from out wide, can't across into the turn, I think it should set sail to a good victory, hopefully.
Yeah, just looking at his form, and you touched on it there, Brennan, second at his last 5 starts. Analysing the form, do you just put that down to circumstances, or are there potentially some greyhounds that like to wait for others and cross the line with another?
Yeah, look, this breed, he's a relation to Fabulous Baroque, which he's got some similar traits as well, but this dog, he's got ability. He's just you can describe him easily as a chaser more than a racer. But this dog, I see him being he's doing everything right. And I just think if he can keep out of his own way, he just wants to get out on his own. Hopefully, you know, you've seen what Fabulous Baroque done. He got to the front and stayed there last week. This dog, I just hope, you know, can do everything right. And everything points to, you know, seeing him land a win, because he's forming. It's got to happen, and hopefully Thursday night will be a chance.
Yeah, hard to see him being far away, that's for sure, on current form. So Brennan's 2 specials in Hobart on Thursday, the 6th of August, race 1, number 1, Bucks Street, and race 7, number 8, Staybroke. We've got a few feature race series coming up in coming weeks too. We've got a National Night of Racing in Hobart next Thursday night, the 13th of August. There'll be hosted coverage from Duncan Dornoff and yourself, Brennan, on Taz Racing TV and hopefully Sky Channel as well, which we're looking forward to. But, yeah, as I said, a number of feature race series coming up.
Yeah, next Thursday, it's a privilege to come down and work alongside Duncan for this event, and having the Tasmanian Sprint Championship coincide with the big night of racing with all the other state finals that'll be happening. Unfortunately, with COVID, the main grand final can't be held at Wentworth Park this year, but still, the championship's always produced the best, you know, of the current sprinters in the state. And there is a bigger carrot going along now, as it was announced last week, in coincide to the $1 million chase. The 7 winners of the state finals from each of the states will be guaranteed a spot into the semi-finals of the $1 million chase at Wentworth Park coming up in October, with a prize money, if they succeeded, into the final of $1 million. And there's been 2 runnings of the races this past year, and this being the 3rd edition, it's hard under this current COVID time what we're going through about getting dogs across there. But with this on offer, I think a lot of trainers would take this up, and it's going to be it's going to be an offer there for trainers hard not to miss to get actually right into the semi-final. So I think it'd be interesting what trainers go forward, but for Tasmania to have another opportunity since Jamela Jett was in the series a few years back, it'd be nice to see a Tassie runner in it. It'd be a bit of an ask to get there, but I think, it would be nice. And also on the same night, we've got the Greg Fay Middle Distance Championship. It'll be a best 8 over 5.99. There is a few nominations suspect to be in it. Sacred Shadow, from what I've been told on a rumour, will be one of the greyhounds heading into it. She's got form over the distance, and I think she'll be one of the contenders. And then in the coming month, in August, here we've got the Young Star Classic coming up also at Hobart, with the heats on the 20th of August and then the final on the 27th. And then the Devonport Breeders Classic kicks off in September with the qualifying heats on the 5th of September, and then the semi-finals on the 15th and the final on the 22nd, and then back to Launceston in between the Breeders Classic with the Steve King Ladies Bracelet. That's a best 8 for bitches. It's an open series, so both Tasbred and mainland bred bitches can go into it. The heats are on the 7th and the finals on the 14th, and that's always promising to be a good series. And we've still got plenty more to coming up with the Derby and the Oaks later on in the months. And you know, these couple of months now, it's going to produce some quality racing, and I can't wait for it.
Yeah, it's excellent. We're really seeing all codes back into the full swing of things down here in Tassie, which is excellent. Look, that's all we've got time for another episode of Taz Racing Kennel Talk. Thanks to everyone for listening and to you, Brennan, for your input. We'll have a lot to cover next week and I look forward to it.
Thanks, Matt, and talk to you soon.